Welcome to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this Thursday, October 20, 2016. This is Payman Mutahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School and your host for this weekly program. I'm going to do a quick sound test to see if the sound quality on the call is good. I'm going to ask a couple of you to tell me if you hear me clearly. Otherwise, I might have to call in from a regular landline. Call America 916. You've been on the call before. Do you hear me okay right now this time? Or does my sound come in chopped?
I hear you fine.
You hear me good? Okay. All right. Very good. All right, folks. Well, thank you for that, sir. So, folks, I'm going to be answering a question talking about a very important subject. That subject is whether you, the average American, are required to file and pay the federal income tax. People assume you do because it seems like the great numbers of people do file and pay the federal income tax. But I don't. Entire adult life, I only filed a 1040 income tax confession form only three times. And here I am talking about the fact that it's a fraud. It's against the law as written by the Congress of the United States and the way it is being enforced is in violation of the U.S. Constitution and your constitutionally guaranteed rights. And on top of that, recently, a law professor attempted to make a claim on Freedom Law School's $300,000 income tax reward. Since 1999, folks, for 17 years now, Freedom Law School had had this three separate $100,000 income tax rewards that combine up to $300,000. And I emailed this law professor, which I covered in the first part of my communications with this law professor, Siegel. I covered it previously, and this is the second part. We got talking, and he made the claim on the Freedom Law School's $300,000 income tax reward. In fact, that was his own idea. He asked me about it. I said, well, no, you're welcome to do it. So we're going to go over this issue because I think what Professor Siegel did was a favor for all of you. He gave me the opportunity to argue this issue and make it like a class for the entire American people to see. This will be a class where you can share with your friends and say, look, here's a research law professor from George Washington Law University in Washington, D.C., in the capital of America, in a law school named after the first president of the United States. One of the top 20 law schools in the country. This guy used to be a lawyer for the United States Department of Justice. These guys that with courts of appeal, they argue before courts of appeal, one level below the U.S. Supreme Court. And that's the background of this Professor Siegel. So he made a claim on Freedom Law School's $300,000 income tax reward on April 28, 2016 by email. And I'm going to go over what he says and then, you know, and my response basically to what he said. And you be the judge. I'm not asking you to agree with anything I said. I'm asking you and I'm inviting you to read the law for yourself. It's written in plain English. I invite you to sit behind your computer You can use your smartphone, laptops, you know, or probably a regular computer monitor, but the bigger monitor is better, so you can see things a lot better. But we'll go through it. And we will read the law for ourselves and see who is right. Is the government right? Is the law professor right? Or Pema Motahede, the president of your law school? Now, after this call, if you have time, I will answer any of your freedom questions that you may have. Freedom Law School assists and educates those who want to live a free life. I provide courses since 1996, for over 20 years, helping you understand the law and your rights and how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. And I've been helping freedom lovers live free, you know, get these, you know, crooks off your back. Because there is no law requiring the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. It's just all a scam, a lie, and a fraud perpetrated by the government, by the executive and judicial branch of government in conspiracy, and the legislature kind of went along with this corruption. And the media, which is owned by the same big banks that pushed through this income tax over 100 years ago, they own the media. The same way they're pushing income tax, you're seeing how they're pushing forward the crooked, lying, butch, murderous, killery, rotten Clinton. It's all controlled, folks. We have censorship of the media, same way we had it in Iran, where I came from in 1977. We had censorship of the media. They would not talk about certain things. They knew not to cross a line. They had an agenda they had to follow that was told by the government. Well, the government of Iran was Shah, the king. Here, the king is the banks like Chase, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citigroup. Those are big five criminal crooks who bought off the Congress over 100 years ago and given themselves the practical power to create money out of thin air, legalize counterfeiting of money. No different than you go in the garage printing money. Except they do it hundreds of billions of dollars at a time. And with that money, they bought off our politicians, the congressmen, the senators, and presidents, especially crooked ones like Clinton. And they buy off the media also. That's all. So, let's go over this, folks, and have a little fun together. If you go to Freedom Law School's website at livefreenow.org, that's where you start. On the front page, on the top, you'll see our victories. Click on the top center of the page, our victories, and that will take you to Freedom Law School's victories. You see right now on there, FLS victories. On the left side, IRS victories of our students in the center, and California Franchise Tax Board victories on the right. Go to the left, the one that says FLS, Freedom Law School victories. Click on that, and you'll see it comes up. You know, victory number one, Law Professor Siegel's claim of the $300,000 income tax reward of Freedom Law School. And let's go to part two. We covered part one previously. We may cover part one again because of the sound quality of that one, but we're going to cover part two right now tonight. Click on number two, part two of three, and you see that Jonathan Siegel, this professor of law at Washington, George Washington University, emailed me on Thursday, 20th of April. And the subject, he left the subject we were previously emailing, because I asked him the question, why Section 61 of the code is missing wages and salaries. IRS Code Section 61 does not list wages and salaries, is what I asked him about, and he was debunking people who claim that that means, you know, anything. He, you know, so there it is. He says, Professor Siegel, I claim your $300,000 income tax reward. Here are the responses to your three propositions. Your proposition one. Show what statute written by the Congress of the United States that requiring Americans to file an income tax confession return, and paying income tax. Response, as is shown in detail on my webpage here, 26 U.S.C. sections 161, 63, 612, and 6151, these various IRS code sections require Americans to file income tax return, which you call a confession, yes I do, and pay an income tax. The statutory provisions are part of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986 as amended, which is a statute written by the Congress of the United States, and which is a statute that requires Americans to file an income tax return, which you call a confession, and pay income tax. Proposition number two, show how Americans can file income tax confession return without giving up their Fifth Amendment right to not give in any information to the government that may be used to prosecute them. An American can file an income tax return, which you call a confession, without giving up their Fifth Amendment rights by simply filing a return in accordance with the instructions provided by the Internal Revenue Service. The requirement to file a tax return does not violate Fifth Amendment. See example, court case of the United States versus McLeod and Betts versus the United States. These are federal courts of appeal decisions. Deciding one of them, Supreme Court, one U.S. Court of Appeal. And number three, proposition, prove that the 16th Amendment to the United States Constitution, which informed the IRS and modern courts permitted the income tax to exist, was lawfully added to the United States Constitution. Response, the requisite number of states ratified the 16th Amendment and the errors in reciting the text of the amendment in some state instruments of ratification did not affect the validity of state ratifications. Full details may be found on my webpage here and in a memorandum prepared by the Solicitor of the Department of State in 1913, which can be found here. For court decisions confirming that the Sixth Amendment is a valid part of the U.S. Constitution, see example United States versus Benson, United States versus Foster versus Spillman. The content of the link webpages in the above responses is a part of my responses. Please send my $300,000 check to me at the following address. You see Jonathan R. Siegel, Professor of Law, George Washington University Law School, 2008 Street, Northwest Washington, D.C., in the District of Criminals, 252. Thank you, John Siegel. Well, folks, what I've done here is I have just about everything here hyperlinked to the source. A couple of things that are hyperlinked, I'm going to be doing that. If they're not, those little minor things. But the purpose of hyperlinking that, whatever, by the way, folks, I think here this conference call may erroneously end shortly because of the error in scheduling. The time is going to be, we're going to be running out of time in about a minute. So what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to end this conference call, folks. And I'm going to have to start another one, schedule another one. Why I did that, it did schedule it by 4:50 minutes by mistake. So I'm going to get that other conference call scheduled. And I'm going to put that link for also on our Facebook page, Freedom Law School. So you can get it there. If you call in, the same call number will work. But give me a few minutes to get the new conference call number set up for 2 hours. And we're going to start the conference call again shortly. Enjoy me. I'll continue at that time. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to hang up and get the new conference call properly set up for 2 hours.